If you got a way of marking your Bibles, I want you to mark a couple of places for me because we're going to go like back and forth. I want you to mark Mark chapter 12. And I want you to mark Luke 21. Mark chapter 12 and Luke 21. I'll give you just a second to find both of them. Mark chapter 12 and Luke 21. Everybody got them or close? Let's go to Luke 21 to begin with, and then we'll drop back to Mark chapter 12. Like I said, I want to flip it back and forth. It's the same story, Mark's account and Luke's account. And if you put them together, you get a bigger picture of it about what took place. I really believe this is a really, really important passage of Scripture. And I'm going to be honest with you. The only time I've ever used this Scripture is when I preached on giving to the church financially. And I honestly believe tonight, after I've restudied this all this week, that I do not believe that this is technically all about giving money. And I'll let you see as we go through what this is talking about. Luke 21. Let's begin with verse number 1. I allow you to stay seated. Y'all look very, very tired tonight. So just relax. Go to sleep. I'll wake you before we leave. Verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have all their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all living that she had. Now go with me to the book of Mark. Like I said, mark that because I want to come back there as we go through this tonight. I'll show you a few things. Mark chapter 12, all the way down to verse number 41. Mark 12, all the way down to verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight I pause again and we lift up all these special needs that we have shared together. Lord, those that's been vocalized and those that are written in the bulletin. And Lord, I believe there's even probably needs here tonight that's not been mentioned that are unspoken to many people. And Lord, You know the hearts of everyone here tonight. And Lord, we just ask as we continue to lift up our needs to You, that, Lord, Your will be done in each and every one of them. And, Lord, even in a time of requests of prayer, we want to give praise because, Lord, of all You've been doing and how You've been blessing, and, Lord, how You've answered prayer for us. And, Lord, we pray that You'll continue to protect those of our congregation that are working with trying to get electricity to people. Lord, keep them safe out there. Take care of their families as well. And Lord, we just pray now for the next few moments that You'll open our minds and our hearts to Your Word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to get God's attention? you would like to have God's attention, is that a good thing? Is it a good thing to have God's attention? Do you see that Jesus was sitting here by a box? And I'll describe this to you in just a second. But He's sitting there, and people's coming in, putting their money in. And this woman came, and when she put what she put in, Jesus called His disciples and said, "Come here. I want to tell you what this woman just did." Do you believe it still works like that? You think God's interested in us down here, what's going on, so much that sometimes we get His attention? That's what I want, right here. Now, how many of you have ever played high school sports? Raise your hand. I wasn't a great ball player. I was good enough always to make the team, but not great. And so when I was a freshman, we had a different coach. Freshman had a coach, JV had a coach, and varsity had a coach. And every once in a while, the varsity coach would show up for a freshman or JV practice. And I asked you a question, did you play harder when the varsity coach was there? Why? Because you wanted to get more time, didn't you? And so when the varsity coach was there, you didn't care to dive for the ball and get some of those cherries on your legs, right? When the hide gets milked, peeled back, y'all know what I'm talking about? You've heard that noise that skids across the wood floor? You know what I'm talking about? You didn't care to dive for a ball. You didn't care to take a hit. You didn't care to do whatever it took so you could get some more playing time because the head coach was there. When I read this story, in my mind, I picture this. All these people coming in, and all of a sudden, this lady puts in what she calls her two mites, or the Bible does, and Jesus stops all the action in the Bible, and He tells the disciples, "Come here. I want to tell you what this lady's just done." She got His attention. And I want you to know tonight, the lesson that I get from this is, you and I can still get God's attention. Sure, I know that if you're saved, God's with you. Sure, I know that He takes care of us. I know all those things. But I tell you what, if you'll step it up a little bit, I believe God shows us more attention. Scripture teaches us this. To whom much is given, much is required. You want to get more from God? It requires more. I asked my class at Monday night at school, I said, "Are you all doing at school? I mean, are you all doing in your churches all that you ever hoped to be doing?" Is that what I said, Brother Jim? You know what they all said? "No, we want to do more." And I said, "You know what? Then you've got to do more. Because the more you do, God's going to give you more to do." Luke chapter 6 says, "Give, and it shall be given." All these scriptures are used for preachers to preach on money, but I want you to know it goes far, far more than money. And this lesson to me tonight is far more than money. And it won't take me long to get us there, but I want you to see exactly what took place. Let me give you just a little history about some things. First of all, there's some words in the two chapters we just read, and I wrote these words down because I thought they'd be words that everybody would be interested in. Treasury is a word that I figured everybody would be interested in. Penury, that was a word that was used in one of the chapters. And then the other was farthing. How many remember hearing those three words? Treasury, penury, and farthing. Now let me just give you some history about that stuff, then I can get you to the basic message. By the way, Mount Hebron, as well as some other churches, probably have the closest way of collecting offering as it was in the Bible days. If you're visiting here, you're probably, if you've never been to this church before, there's not a lot of churches like this out there in the world. But believe it or not, I've pastored three churches in Kentucky, and all three churches have had this way of collecting offering. In Herod's day, the time of Herod's temple, which would have been the time of Christ, there was a part of the temple that was called the treasury. And as people walked into the temple, there was this box. This box had 13 slots in the box. 9 slots were for the tithes of the people. The other 5 slots were for, anybody know? Offering. By the way, a tithe and an offering are 2 different things. Everybody said it's not going to be about, you said it wasn't going to be about money. It's not, but I've got to do a commercial about money, okay? So what they would do is they'd walk in, there's 13 slots. And out of these 13 slots was a horn, a sheep horn. And sheep horns are made just like horns that you sort of blow today. They're big on one end and small on the other. And every one of those horns would go into a slot. And this box was made out of rock. And they would walk into the treasury. That's as you first walk into the temple, right in the back door. You would walk into the treasury and they would actually throw their money and it would catch in that little big hole of the horn and go down into. Now listen, all the money that Rome had during that day and time was all coins. There was no bills. No bills. It was all coins. So the treasury is where they collected money. So everybody wants to know, you know, Mount Hebron don't pass offering plates. That's true, but we do collect them. Tim says we do. This has come to a shocker to some tonight. We take up offerings here. Right back there by the door is a box. Okay? That has not got snakes in it. And it's not a trash box. Sometimes John will pull the money out. It's got like gum wrappers. Some people think it's a trash box. And it's not a letter slot to send mail out. Okay? That is where Mount Hebron Baptist Church collects their offerings. Their tithes and offerings in that little box as you walk in the door. There's not no celebration taking place. There's not a sad... You know, a lot of churches when they take up an offering, it's sort of a sad song, isn't it? You ever notice that? Not no song of victory, it's sort of a sad song while they're collecting the offerings, you know. Well, this is supposed to be a time of rejoicing. I think you should give your money as you first come in. Because I think that sort of sets the tone for your worship. If you're here today, and it's not about anything I have, it's all about God, what God's gave me, and thank you, God, for one more week. A lot of people complain about electricity. You wait 2 more weeks, you're going to get your electric bill. Then you can thank God. 2 weeks without electricity, I guarantee the milk barn is like going to be half cost. You can't count what the gas costs to run the generator. That don't count, okay? But the electric bill itself will be down because they ain't had electric for 2 weeks over there at the milk barn, right? So that's what the treasury is the offering box that was actually literally an offering box that set as you come in the temple. The other one was a farthing. What's a farthing and what's mite? Well, there was such thing, believe it or not, in the Bible day as a penny. A penny. A farthing is a half a penny. And 2 mites is a farthing. So 1 mite is 1/4 of a penny. And he said, well, preacher, she didn't give much. Well, let me tell you a little different, though. The penny then is not like American penny today. We read the Bible and we read it in our American English. And we said a penny. Well, a penny's worth how much? Penny. Somebody told me the other day that a penny's worth more than a penny now because copper's worth more. I don't know if that's true or not. But it's against the law to squish copper, so don't do it. A penny in the Bible's day was a day's wages. Okay? There's a passage of Scripture that tells us about a penny worth of bread. That was a day's wage. So, the lady put in 2 mites, which was a half a day's wage. That's what a farthing is. Now the other one was a penare. Go to Luke. I'm almost all this introduction junk out of the way, and then I can give you a message. Luke 21, verse 4. If you believe in writing your Bible, put down all these little things down there we've told you, and you'll always remember what these are, and it'll help you as you talk about this story. Verse 4, Luke 21. For all these have all of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury has nothing to do with the penny. Penury, what is that? The word penury means poverty. She gave out of her poverty. The others gave out of their what? Abundance. She gave out of her poverty. Is there a difference? Oh, so much the difference. So much the difference. So what's the message? Three things. I'll let you write them down and I'll fill them in and we'll go home. We'll be home by the time Super Bowl comes on. Jesus saw, she sacrificed, and Jesus said. That's the three points. Jesus saw, she sacrificed, and Jesus said. He saw her, she did something, and got His attention, and she said something, or He said something. Now, I told you a few weeks ago, I can't think of anything that could be said any greater to me one day than, well done, Mark remembers. Well done. You know what Jesus is saying to this woman tonight when you read this story? Well done. Do you know you can get a well done on earth? I didn't know that. I thought I had to wait until I walked through the pearly gates, Scott, and God would say, well done. You know what? You can get a well done here. There is no place in the Bible that says that we got to wait to get to eternity to get rewarded by God. God can reward us now. He tells us if we pray in silence, He'll reward us openly. Amen? If you had any prayers answered openly, then yes, God can answer them and reward us openly. God is a God who sees what's going on, and He's an honest and just God, and He wants to give you what you deserve. But we've got to do what we've got to do. So what's the lesson? How did God notice her just throwing in two mites, one farthing, a half a day's wages? What's the big deal about all of that? Well, I think it's just a great big deal. So let's go through this. If you go back to Luke 21, the Bible says, verse 1 and 2, He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And He saw also a certain poor widow casting in her two mites. I can tell you tonight, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, God is watching us. There's a song that was sung back when I was a teenager, God is watching us. God is watching. Listen, He really is. The Bible says His eye is on the sparrow. And He watches you and me. He's watching us. He's not just... See, we think God just watching us like the angel with the little kids walking across the bridge. You've seen the painting and the bridge is about out, but the angel's helping the little kids across. God's doing that, yes. He's helping us in time of danger, in time of trouble. But God's also watching what we're doing. He knows what we're doing. He knows if we're playing church or really being Christians. He knows when you give, if you really gave or not. He really does know that. He knows everything. See, I believe that those people would throw in a lot of change because it made lots of noise and everybody could hear them when they threw it into the box. Can you imagine coins hitting rocks? Lots of coins. And then what would these two little coins sound like? Mites are about this big. Shell's got a necklace made with a mite. It's about that big, isn't it? Just a little bitty thing. I don't think two of them made a whole lot of noise. Sometimes you don't have to make a lot of noise on the earth for it to make a lot of noise in heaven. God sees the little things. But God knows sometimes little things are big things. Sometimes we look at and we don't see anybody... Don't look like anybody's really doing anything. But there's some people out there who are really doing, and they're really doing without so they can do for others. And God is seeing that. And maybe tonight this is for you who is out there, who's doing, and you feel like nobody's noticing. I want you to know tonight, God sees it. He's got His eyes on you. You're not going to do anything that God did not see happen. And what a great thing for God to stop everything and say, hey, did you just see what happened right there? Let me tell you what happened. See, everything stopped so God could say to His disciples about giving. Let me show you something else as you move on down. You know what this is all about? I just save some time. I said the second thing, she sacrificed. You know what this is about? It's about sacrifice tonight. I'll just get to the point. There is a difference in giving and there's a difference in sacrificing. I don't know if I can tell it exactly right or not, but I thought it was very humorous and it just seemed like I heard it at the right time to share with you tonight. It's about a chicken and a pig walking down the road. Y'all know this story, chicken and a pig? Well, you'll know it tonight. Chicken and a pig walking down the road, and they walked by a church, and they heard a preacher up screaming and hollering about all these hungry people everywhere that need to be fed. And the chicken and the pig keeps walking on past the church, and the pig looked over and knows the chicken's crying. Feathers all wet, just crying, chicken crying. The pig said, what's wrong with you? And the chicken said, didn't you hear? There's people out there that's starving and they're hungry. And we can feed them ham and eggs. And the pig just kept walking and he kept walking. He stopped for a minute and he said, oh, wait a minute. You're wanting to make a contribution and I got to make a sacrifice. Now see, honestly tonight, I believe the Christian life is like this, right? I think there's people out there contributing like a chicken, you know? I'll give an egg or two. We'll do something. But then it's, listen, there's got to be some sacrifice somewhere. Let me tell you the neatest thing about the story I've just read you tonight. Do you know almost nothing else happens between here and the cross except Jesus gets crucified? You know, when you go home tonight and you start reading your Bible again, you're going to find out that all these preaching stories and all this, everything happened up to here. This is one of the last stories. And then the next thing you know, the trial of Jesus starts and He walks Himself to the cross and He shows us what sacrifice is all about. I want to know tonight, are you a contributor or are you a sacrificer? It takes contributors. It does take contributors. But I want you to know something. We need some sacrificers. We need people who's willing to give up things for God. We need people who's willing to put God first in their life. I don't know if God called me at a young age. I was 19 years old. I was so dumb I didn't know anything. And I just quit jobs for God. I run into a lady yesterday, Chat and I, and she came up, she said, oh, Steve, I ain't seen you forever. And I said, how you doing, Hilda? And me and this lady started work the same day at General Electric. And she retired last week. She just had the big grin all over her face, you know. How you been? I retired last week. And I thought, how many years would I have in now? And I started doing the math, I thought, man, I could be retired. But you know what? God didn't ask me to do that. God asked me to just follow Him. If He said quit a job, I quit a job. If He told you to give this up, I gave that up. I think it's nothing to give back to God what He gave me. And He gave me everything. So really, it's just His. And I've always believed I can give it to Him or He can take it. Right? That's the way we have to look at it. And I believe this lady had it. You know, some people believe, well, you know, she just did that because she had nothing else to do but just throw it all in. Listen, I think that she knew that she just needed to give God everything. I think she's down to the last straw in her life. I believe there's probably people right here tonight that's probably down to the last straw. I'm going to tell you what you need to do tonight. You need to put it all to God. You need to dump it all. You need to give all your living. Not your abundance. Not what you got extra. You need to give Him all your living. That means your kids. That means your house, your car, your business, everything you got, your marriage. We've got people who ain't gave God their marriage yet. I'm not going to preach on sin. Somebody said, "Preacher, don't preach too hard tonight. We've got visitors." I'm going to back off just a little bit. You've got to give God everything. You've got to give God 100% for you to be noticed by God. He didn't stop the disciples for any of those other people, did He? He stopped the disciples for that lady. He said, "Wait, let me show you what this lady just did. Let me show you a verse." I had to hunt. I knew this verse was in there. I could not find it. I found it at 6:45. 2 Samuel 24. I almost called Miss Dorse because I knew Miss Dorse would know where he's at. But I didn't. I found it before. But I was fixing to call her. 2 Samuel 24:24. What a neat verse. I could even tie this into Valentine's Day. And one more verse. Just hang on. Everybody wanted a sweetheart message tonight. I'll give you one, all right? We got one more verse to get you there, though. But I want you to see this one. 2 Samuel 24. What a neat deal. What a neat verse. What a neat story. Remember David? David bought this threshing floor because there he's going to build a temple for God. His very temple. I told you that they walked in by the back door and put the money in the treasury is the very spot that we're about to read about. And David finds out this angel standing over this threshing floor. And David said, "This is the spot." And David shows up to this man that owns this threshing floor. And he's wanting to know how much he can give this man for this threshing floor. And the man said, "Listen, I'm not going to charge the king anything for this threshing floor. I'm going to give the king everything to build what he needs to build. I'm even going to give him this oxen to sacrifice right here today." And I want you to see what David said. Underline this. This is the most awesome verse you'll find. 2 Samuel 24. "And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing." You see that? I'm not going to give God something that didn't cost me anything. I heard a story one time. It's probably not funny, but I believe it was true. You know Butterball, how they always advertise how to cook the turkey at Thanksgiving? Well, on one of the call-ins, the lady called in and said, "I have a turkey that's been frozen for 24 years. We found it in my mother's freezer, and it's been frozen for 24 years, but it's a Butterball. And I want to know if you think it's all right to eat." True. True, true. This is true. They told her they thought it was safe to eat, but it probably wouldn't taste very well. She said, "I will donate it to the church and they can find somebody that can eat it." Sometimes we want to give God something that really didn't cost us anything. But that's not true sacrifice, is it? True sacrifice is when you're willing to give it all to God. And I wonder tonight, we got young men who surrendered their lives to the Lord. They've come forward and told the church this. And I'm asking you young men tonight, are you put it all out there? Have you are you willing to sacrifice? I'm telling you, if you want to serve God, you've got to be willing to put your family aside and move away if God leads you away. Right, Rochelle? No, it's true. She cried all the way to Kansas City when I moved her to Colorado. I can remember Josh standing in the window upstairs. Mom and Dad would come visit. They'd drive off. Josh standing in the window upstairs crying. Mom and Dad circle Lamar, Colorado, pull back in the driveway. Let's go to McDonald's. Am I right? Hang around a half a day thinking the boy quit crying. Sometimes when you're serving God, you might got to leave mom and dad and granny and papa, and you might got to leave comforts of home. You may have to. I'm not telling you will, but you may have to. Sacrifice. God won't want us just to give something. He wants you to give something worth something. And I'm going to tell you the greatest thing you can give God tonight is your life. You give it to Him, first of all, for salvation. And then, a lot of people get saved, but they never surrender to service. God has something for everybody in this building. This was about a widow. This was not about a or an apostle tonight. She was a widow with some kids. And she stopped Jesus Christ in His tracks and told the disciples. And this is what Jesus said. She has gave of all that she has. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. I told you I could give you a verse that would be a Valentine verse. 2 Corinthians 8:8. I'm done, except for this verse. Two statements. Here's the first statement. God does not ask us to give equal gifts, but sacrifice. In this building tonight who could give $500,000 to the church and never even hurt them. There could be somebody in this building tonight who gave $50 to the church that may break them. And I want you to know God expects you to give the same. Not dollar amounts, but sacrifice amounts. Time. I don't have no time, but you know I can give some money. God needs your time. I think that churches, this is what I believe is happening in churches. I think churches have got staff infection. I'm serious. I see churches and they got 15 people on staff and everybody's got shirts and everybody's on salary and the church people are paying them and these guys are up here performing. I don't think that's what God meant. I think that God means for you to go visit, not to pay somebody to visit on your behalf. Right? Sacrifice. Tell me what's worth more to you than your time tonight. What's worth more than time to you? I can't think of anything because I don't have enough time. I missed, Josh played high school football. I missed all of the games but one. Because usually at a church, something, somebody in the hospital, somebody died, somebody sick, visitation, I made one game. You know what? He don't play high school football no more. I don't get to watch him play high school football. Right? Well, preacher, now you got to put your family first. Now listen, I think you got to put God first. I think if I put God first, then He'll work everything else out. If God thought it was more important for me to be with the family at a hospital than in a football game, I think He could have worked it out another way, don't you? He could have made it where I could do both. But He had me to make a choice. I want you to know tonight, God needs us to sacrifice. Not just to give something, but give something. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I only got one more statement. Ooh, I'm going to quit on time. This is going to be wonderful. Look at verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 8:8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know what Jesus told Peter? If you love me, feed my sheep. You know what He said? If you love me, prove it. Do you love the Lord tonight? Oh, preacher, I love the Lord. Do you love Him? He's saying prove it. Isn't He? Isn't that what that says? Prove it. Do you love your wife tonight? Prove it. Do you love your girlfriend tonight? Prove it. I tell you the greatest thing. You know, I can't hardly get a message out without dabbling into stuff. So I'll babble just a second. I tell you this. We got young boys and young girls here. We got teenage boys, teenage girls here. Let me say this, and I hope you guys will listen to me and know that I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart. if you really love that person that you hope to marry one day, you will not dabble with sex until you get married. Because that will be the greatest gift you'll ever give your husband or your wife, is each other. Is that too personal or not? I think that's real stuff. He's saying, if you really love me, show me. How come we get quiet when it's the truth? Well, I had one more statement. Can I read it to you? Does it matter to you what God sees? That's what I wrote down in closing tonight. Because He's watching. He knows. Does it matter to you? I'm asking you. Does it matter to you? Not what I see, but what God sees. Somebody tonight is going to walk out of here, and this is what they're going to say. Preacher, the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. How many believe that? The Bible says that. One, two. Do you know it's not talking about tithes and offerings? It's talking about almsgiving. Almsgiving and tithes and offerings are two different things. Almsgiving is what? When people are in need. Almsgiving is charitable giving. And He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand gave when it comes to charitable giving. Go home tonight and read it and see if I'm not telling you the truth. I think when you're giving and sacrificing for the God, it should be noticeable. Thank you, Brother Toby, because it's the truth. If you're doing for God, it should be noticeable. Oh, He's given a lot of time. He's out there. He's been visiting. He knocked on my door. It's noticeable. If you're sacrificing, it can be seen what's happening. God saw it. And I'm asking you tonight, does it matter to you what God sees? It does to me. It really does to me. Let's stand tonight together.